Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
And this morning, Petra Harpik and I, Grady Deaton, are connecting with our good friend Mark Leary from Nepaimute. Good morning, Mark. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning.
And I think in a little bit we're going to be talking to Nathan Underwood from Antioch, but I'm not sure if we have him on the line just yet. Nathan, are you with us already? No, I think we're going to get him along in a minute because we're going to be talking about fish wheels. But give us a brief description of fish wheels and that history, that fish wheel project out there in Nepaimute, if you would.
Okay, yeah. Before we start talking about fish wheels, I wanted to express a little bit of, you know, condolences to KYUK and everybody in the family of John Active. It's been a sad week, you know, when we got the news upriver about John's passing. I felt the same deep sadness that I felt when Eddie Hoffman passed away and Ianna Gusty, you know, like a big part of our identity as a region just went away, you know. Somebody that we trusted to talk for us. So, yeah, our condolences to everybody at KYUK and the Active family.
So, but the fish wheels, tell us a little bit about what they are, they're in, and what their history has been recently.
excuse me, you know, fish wheels used to be pretty common in the middle Kuskokwim, especially back in the days when everybody used dogs. You know, you needed thousands of fish to support a dog team. I think the rule of thumb, maybe when Nathan gets on, he can correct me, the rule of thumb was like 200 fish per dog. But they gradually faded away as we got better nets and started using dogs less.
All right, great, because I do think Nathan is on, and Petra is ready and raring to go with some questions for Nathan relative to their history. So without any further ado, good morning, Nathan Underwood. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Good morning.
Good morning. For the purpose of our listeners, just tell us who you are, where you're from, who your folks are, please.
This is Nathan Underwood in Antioch.
Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning. I have a question for you, Nathan. Fish wheels were introduced in the early 1800s. True or false?
True. It came with the gold seekers, huh?
The answer is false. They were introduced around late 1800s.
What was the question?
I ask you, fish wheels were introduced in the early 1800s. Was it true or false?
Oh, you got me there.
Trick question.
Not early 1800s.
Nathan, I am curious about fish wheels myself. I understand that they're a means of efficiently harvesting fish from the river. How many fish does the fish wheel scoop up in an hour?
It varies anywhere from what the run is doing. Like where I set my wheel, it probably catches in July. It'll start catching, and it could catch anywhere from nothing to 100 in like 6 hours. So figure that out. When the run is going really strong, like last year and the year before, I was catching like 100 an hour on pink salmon.
I know you got a chance to pass on some of your knowledge to Nepaimute. Petra has some questions relative to that.
Mark, have you thought of teaching the younger generation on how to build or use fish wheels?
Well, yeah. You know, first of all, I have to say that I'm just here to back up Nathan. Nathan taught all of us, you know. He was one of possibly the only one left using a fish wheel on the middle Kuskokwim for many years. And then he taught us. And we have a bunch of young guys at Nepaimute that help with the fish wheel, and they're learning about it. But yeah, I really this is about Nathan. So what do you think, Nathan?
Yeah, Nathan, tell us about your experience with the Nepaimute project and increasing the number of fish wheels over the course of the last couple of years.
I think I missed your question, but I understood Marx, and yeah, you know, you learn by watching, and the wheel has been down on the river. My wheel's been down here forever, and generations, actually, and I had one kid, actually, from Red Devil, ask me if I know how to make fish wheels, and, like, he went to school here, and I said, man, he didn't notice the wheel, so... So people, like long ago, you know, there's wheels everywhere, and you couldn't help but not learn on, there's only one right way to do it, you know, the way the baskets turn, but there's, for actually construction, it's the right way to do it is the way you want it done in any aspect, you know.
I have a question for Mark. The fish that swim in the middle of the Kuskokwim River are headed to which tributary? What about the fish that swim near the bank?
I don't know. Boy, you ask tricky questions.
And Nathan, I think that I would really like to know a story from you. What's your first memory of a fish wheel, and who taught you to build your first one?
Like I say, nobody taught you. You know, you learn by watching. And there's fish wheels all over the place.
Do you remember the first one you built?
Not that many years ago.
Do you remember the first one you built?
No. I know it worked.
Nathan, tell me a little bit about your site selection for fish wheels.
I've looked around on different sites every once in a great while, and I figure I want to move it, but I always come back to the same site. And the site I have used to be a good chum salmon site. And whitefish site, and that's what I was primarily after. And for the last 30 years or so, I probably, it's not for a king salmon site, though probably the last 30 years I've caught 20 kings altogether, and most of those were spawned out coming back down from Aniak River. It's clear water, fairly clear water could get when it's low, and so I only catch at night. So there's other sites that are probably better, but I've never found one that I wanted to use economically because I don't want to go downriver and upriver. It'd be a little too far for going in better sites.
Mark, I'm curious now. The fish wheels are not necessarily designed for catching kings, though. Tell me a little bit about that fish wheel myth that we want to squash.
Okay, real quick before I talk about that. The site we picked at Napaimut, we looked back at where did people used to put their fish wheels, you know, when they had them around Napaimut. And, you know, the river doesn't change a whole lot in that area because it's rocky. We picked our site that's where Shelley's Appa had his fish wheel. His parts of his basket are still up in the woods, and his old cable is still hooked to the tree there, and we tie our fish wheel to the very same tree that Harappa tied his, and it's been a good spot all these years later. About the reason I wanted to or was interested in a show about fish wheels is because, you know, we go to a lot of fish meetings, and I'm starting to hear a myth, an untruth repeated about fish wheels, and I know how it works. You know, once something untrue is said numerous times in public, people start to believe it and it becomes the truth. And that is, some people been thinking that fish wheels are catching a lot of kings and they're being kept. And that's not true at all. Our fish wheel only catches once in a great while. It'll catch a very small jack king. We're fishing close to the beach in about 4 feet of water.
All right, well, we obviously just touched the tip of the iceberg. Tune in later for our rebroadcast where we're going to have more with Mark on the fish wheels.
I usually can cut about 80 fish by myself in at least 2 to 3 hours. I can't imagine how your wife feels when she has to cut so many fish. How many women are involved in your family when there are so much fish to cut?
With the restrictions that we've had on king salmon, that's primarily what my wife and several other families cut, and we have to drift for them, so I don't know how much they cut. They'll cut just very few king salmon, but I never actually know how much they cut an hour. But from fish from the fish wheel, though, I cut those and I could probably cut, like, when Isaac's standing over my shoulder, I cut about 100 an hour, maybe more, and it's primarily some salmon, red salmon. And I think there's probably, normally when we're fishing, we're eating fish, we have, like, four different families, three widows.
The question is, I usually can cut about 80 fish by myself in at least 2 to 3 hours. I can't imagine how your wife feels when she has to cut so many fish. How many women are involved in your family when there are so much fish to cut?
Okay. Maybe let me explain how we run our wheel first. As I mentioned before, you know, it's not for king salmon. It rarely catches a king salmon, and it has a live box, right? So all the fish you catch are in the water, and they're alive when you go there. When we first put the wheel in, we turn it over to our elder across the river, Nasavakumov, and we let them use it until she says they have enough, and then we start using it. And the main purpose of the wheel is to catch reds and chums, but it's deadly for reds. It catches lots of reds, especially last summer, you know, we had some kind of record run, red run on the Kuskokwim. It catches very few chums, but enough to keep us happy. You know, everybody wants a few chums. And we will run it for a few hours, check it, see how much it has. Like last year was a best example, I guess, of how much a wheel can catch. And I'm not an expert. I've only been running a wheel maybe 4 years. But it could catch, you know, at one time it caught like 200 reds in 4 hours. And we were sharing the fish for anybody that wanted, Nanyak, Juahpalak. We'd bring them down, or if they wanted to come up, we'd start the wheel again for a few hours. They would come up and get the fish. You know, they're nice and fresh and alive. But we usually shoot for like around 40 at a time, and then we could stop it for a while. 40 fish for the ladies to cut at a time, somewhere around there, sometimes a little more.
You want to include anything else?
I just wanted to reiterate,
yeah,
what I was saying earlier. You know, these wheels that we're using are not the big giant wheels you see on Yukon men, you know. Our wheels are small, and they're not far out from the beach, and they're in shallow water, and they're not made for catching king salmon. I think that I've never seen a big king get caught. I think if there is any, when they hit the wheel basket, they must stop the wheel and
they do
turn and go, because I never see them get caught.
I've heard it's down at Birch Tree, you know, the George One's fish camp, they used to run the wheel, and king salmon down there, big one, they just stop the wheel, stops fishing, period, up river. Yeah, them big ones, I don't even think they could slide down the chute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, we catch a jack once in a while, and we're not even interested in it because we're getting lots of reds, and the reds are bigger than the jacks, and they're in much better condition that far up the Kuskokwim. The reds are in really nice shape. A lot of them look like they just came from the ocean, you know. They're blue and silver. And, you know, king salmon in the middle Kuskokwim are typically, you know, getting red and skinnier. Nathan, you have any more you wanted to say?
Probably got a lot to say. I don't know how much tape you got.
Well, here's your chance.
I just had a reflection on fish. Was basically, I always tell people that, you know, it takes fish to catch, to make a fish wheel fish for you. Those little tricks that you could do to the wheel to catch more or catch less. You know, like back in the day when we used to have lots of chum salmon, which my wheel doesn't catch very much anymore. I used to cut right at the, on the wheel, and so the byproducts right in the water, and that would actually deter catching too much fish.
Mm.
They would turn them away.
Mm-hmm.
Then and then that's when I wanted more whitefish, and then I'd start catching more whitefish and less chums. And there's lots of little things you could do, but it seems this morning I was thinking about it. I think about, I could remember like on the 19th of June, and that's coming up not too long from now. and crooked. My wheel was like the snap of the fingers. I was getting like 500 chums in the wheel overnight.
Mm.
And I was a busy buddy at that time, but that was June 19th. That's not even heard of anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So fish wheel is not very efficient when there isn't no fish.
Yeah, it covers such a small little part of the river, you know.
And they are bank orientated, you know, like on one side of the river I could catch chums, and then on the other side of the river I can catch reds. And now that's something new. And now normally I'd catch for every chum I'd catch like one red. And now for every 100 reds I catch one chum.
Huh.
So that's kind of flip-flopped. And that's been for the last couple of years. It's like the weather. The norm is the new norm is there is no norm or something of that nature. Can hardly predict what's going to happen on breakup anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When it's going to happen. We used to be able to tell pretty easy.
You mentioned little tricks you can do, you know, and I timed our wheel. It makes one revolution every 15 seconds. So I thought I was being smart. I was in Anchorage. I went to Alaska Bearing, and I wanted to get bearings for my fish wheel, see if it can turn better, smoother, you know. I walked in there and thought I was going to astound those guys with something they'd never been asked before, and I asked them, I want to get bearings for my fish wheel. And the guy behind the counter, without even blinking an eye, he said, okay, what size your shaft? And I looked at him and I said, you mean people ask you for fish wheel bearings? He said, oh yeah, all the time. yeah, little tricks you could do, but somebody thought of that one long before me.
That's one of the tricks of trying to run a wheel close to an eddy, put bearings on them. And ideally is for a fish wheel spot is just right over, right, just right next to it and up just in shade from a eddy. It's pretty ideally.
Mm.
I think that's why Sleetnik has got a really good sight.
I was trying to count how many fish wheels are there. Something like 8, but not all of them running?
A few years ago, I think there was 11 or 12 that I recall.
Hmm.
I think there's one in McGrath, two in McGrath.
Is there? I had asked somebody up there one time about it, and they said, no, the current's too slow.
Yeah, that's where the bearings come into play, yeah.
Hmm.
No, it's not too slow. I know several people had wheels up there. Even Eep Anderson had a wheel at Sterling.
Yeah, good current around there, yeah.
But I think Rudy DeMasi had one just blow him off at Cotton River.
Hmm.
Did pretty good. Ernie Baumgarten had a wheel. And I've seen quite a few wheels that took off from people in the above stony on sandbars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know. But there must have been about a dozen wheels that crooked at one time. You could see where the cables were all still laying up on the high water mark.
Mm.
Up against the bank. Rusty cables.
Mm-hmm.
Across from Maniac, that whole island was full of wheels. Took a ride with Fish and Game once when they were going to set up their fish wheels. We went down to Tulixac and talked to Joe DeManto, and he said, yeah, wheels were from Tulixac all the way up, wheels everywhere.
Mm.
Not below Tulixac, he said, you know, where that that tide would come up right to that one area below the fish camps, that crossing.
Uh-huh.
The tide couldn't make it over there, so from there down, they didn't use wheels, but up above, they used wheels.
Huh.
From that one area. And it looked to me, when we were searching around, it looked like there could have been a lot of king salmon spots down that way.
Huh. Yeah, deep along the cut bank.
Yeah. And that must have been 25 years or 20 years ago. we're running around with boat, looking at spots for them to set up wheels. So, and they were going to tag king salmon one year, and they actually couldn't catch any in the wheel. They had to drift for them. They were going to do a live capture.
Oh, yeah.
Release.
Yeah.
So they're busy drifting for them and tagging my birch tree, I believe.
Yeah, good to talk with you on the radio.
Yeah, you find out what kind of coffee that fellow's drinking.
Yeah.
I need some. Okay.
Okay, we'll see you back up river. Okay, good morning.
And also some campfire visitors, so tune in later for the rebroadcast. Don't forget to be awesome to each other.
I usually can cut about 80 fish by myself in at least 2 to 3 hours. I can't imagine how your wife feels when she has to cut so many fish. How many women are involved in your family when there are so much fish to cut?
With the restrictions that we've had on king salmon, that's primarily what my wife and several other families cut, and we have to drift for them, so I don't know what how much they cut. They'll cut just very few king salmon, but I never actually know how much they cut an hour. But from the fish wheel, though, I cut those, and I could probably cut, like, when Isaac's standing over my shoulder, I cut about 100 an hour, maybe more, and that's primarily some salmon, red salmon, and I think there's probably, normally when we're fishing, we're eating fish, we have like 4 different families, 3 widows.
The question is, I usually can cut about 80 fish by myself in at least 2 to 3 hours. I can't imagine how your wife feels when she has to cut so many fish. How many women are involved in your family when there are so much fish to cut?
Okay. Maybe let me explain how we run our wheel first. As I mentioned before, you know, it's not for king salmon. It rarely catches a king salmon, and it has a live box, right? So all the fish you catch are in the water, and they're alive when you go there. When we first put the wheel in, we turn it over to our elder across the river, Nasavakumov, and we let them use it until she says they have enough, and then we start using it. And the main purpose of the wheel is to catch reds and chums. But it's deadly for reds. It catches lots of reds, especially last summer. You know, we had some kind of record run, red run on the Kuskokwim. It catches very few chums, but enough to keep us happy. You know, everybody wants a few chums. And we... we'll run it for a few hours, check it, see how much it has. Like last year was a best example, I guess, of how much a wheel can catch. And I'm not an expert. I've only been running a wheel maybe 4 years. But it could catch, you know, at one time it caught like 200 reds in 4 hours. And we were sharing the fish for anybody that wanted it, Nanyak, Juahpalak. We'd bring them down, or if they wanted to come up, we'd start the wheel again for a few hours. They would come up and get the fish. You know, they're nice and fresh and alive. But we usually shoot for like around 40 at a time, and then we could stop it for a while. 40 fish for the ladies to cut at a time, somewhere around there, sometimes a little more.
You want to include anything else?
I just wanted to reiterate what I was saying earlier. You know, these wheels that we're using are not the big, giant wheels you see on Yukon men, you know. Our wheels are small, and they're not far out from the beach, and they're in shallow water, and they're not made for catching king salmon. I think that I've never seen a big king get caught. I think if there is any... when they hit the wheel basket, they must stop the wheel and
they do
turn and go, because I never see them get caught.
I've heard it's down at Birch Tree, you know, the George One's Fish Camp, they used to run the wheel, and king salmon down there, big one, they just stop the wheel, stops fishing, period, upriver. Yeah, them big ones, I don't even think they could slide down the chute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, we catch a jack once in a while, and we're not even interested in it because we're getting lots of reds, and the reds are bigger than the jacks, and they're in much better condition that far up the Kuskokwim. The reds are in really nice shape. A lot of them look like they just came from the ocean, you know. They're blue and silver. And, you know, king salmon in the middle Kuskokwim are typically, you know, getting red and skinnier. Nathan, you have any more you wanted to say?
Probably got a lot to say. I don't know what how much tape you got.
Well, here's your chance.
I just had a reflection on fish oil. Basically, I always tell people that, you know, it takes fish to catch to make a fish oil fish for you. Those little tricks that you could do to the wheel to catch more or catch less. You know, like back in the day when we used to have lots of chum salmon, which my wheel doesn't catch very much anymore. I used to cut right at the on the wheel and throw the byproducts right in the water, and that would actually deter catching too much fish.
Mm.
They would turn them away.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's when I wanted more whitefish, and then I'd start catching more whitefish and less chums. And there's lots of little things you could do, but it seems this morning I was thinking about it. I think about, I could remember like on the 19th of June, and that's coming up not too long from now. And crooked my wheel was like the snap of the fingers. I was getting like 500 chums in the wheel overnight.
Mm.
And I was a busy buddy at that time, but that was June 19th. That's not even heard of anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So fish wheel is not very efficient when there isn't no fish.
Yeah, it covers such a small little part of the river, you know.
And they are bank orientated, you know, like on one side of the river I could catch chums, and then on the other side of the river I can catch reds. And now that's something new. And now normally I'd catch for every chum I'd catch like one red. And now for every 100 reds I catch one chum.
Huh.
So that's kind of flip-flopped. And that's been for the last couple of years. It's like the weather. The norm is the new norm is there is no norm or something of that nature. Can hardly predict what's going to happen on breakup anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or when it's going to happen. You used to be able to tell pretty easy.
You mentioned little tricks you can do, you know. And I timed our wheel. It makes one revolution every 15 seconds. So I thought I was being smart. I was in Anchorage. I went to Alaska Bearing, and I wanted to get bearings for my fish wheel, see if it can turn better, smoother, you know. I walk in there and thought I was going to astound those guys with something they'd never been asked before, and I asked them, I want to get bearings for my fish wheel. And the guy behind the counter, without even blinking an eye, he said, okay, what size your shaft? And I looked at him and I said, you mean people ask you for fish wheel bearings? He said, oh yeah, all the time. yeah, little tricks you could do, but somebody thought of that one long before me.
That's one of the tricks of trying to run a wheel close to an eddy, put bearings on them. And ideally is for a fish wheel spot is just right next to her and up just a shade from a eddy. It's pretty ideally.
Mm.
I think that's why Sleetnut has got a really good sight.
I was trying to count how many fish wheels are there. Something like 8, but not all of them running?
A few years ago, I think there was 11 or 12 that I recall.
Hmm.
I think there's one in Nebraska, two in Nebraska.
Is there? I had asked somebody up there one time about it, and they said, no, the current's too slow.
Yeah, that's where the bearings come into play, yeah.
Hmm.
No, it's not too slow. I know several people had wheels up there. Even Eep Anderson had a wheel at Sterling.
Yeah, yeah. Good current around there, yeah.
DeMasi had one just blow them off at Cotton River. Hmm. Did pretty good. Ernie Baumgarten had a wheel. And I've seen quite a few wheels that took off from people in the above stone on sandbars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know. But there must have been about a dozen wheels that crippled at one time. You could see where the cables were all still laying on, up on the high water mark up against the bank. Rusty cables.
Mm-hmm.
Across from Maniac, that whole island was full of wheels. Took a ride with Fish and Game once when they were going to set up their fish wheels. We went down to Tulixac and talked to Joe DeMantle, and he said, yeah, wheels were from Tulixac all the way up, wheels everywhere.
Mm.
Not below Tulixac, he said, where that that tide would come up right to that one area below the fish camps, that crossing.
Uh-huh.
The tide couldn't make it over there, so from there down, they didn't use wheels, but up above, they used wheels.
Huh.
From that one area. And the look to me, when we were searching around, it looked like there could have been a lot of king salmon spots down that way.
Huh. Yeah. Deep along the cut bank.
Yeah. That must have been 25 years or 20 years ago. We were running around with boat, looking at spots for them to set up wheels. So, and they were going to tag king salmon one year, and they actually couldn't catch any in the wheel. They had to drift for them. They were going to do a live capture.
Oh, yeah,
release.
Yeah.
So they're busy drifting for them and tagging them at Birch Tree, I believe.
Yeah, good to talk with you on the radio.
Yeah, you find out what kind of coffee that fella's drinking?
yeah.
I need some. Okay.
Okay, we'll see you back up river.
Yeah.
Okay, good morning.
You just heard Mark Leary and Nathan Underwood talking about fish wheels, and now for Campfire.
So briefly, just tell me your name, where you're from, and what you're doing in the area.
My name is Cody Ann. I am from Wyoming, and I am happily putting on Campfire here in Bethel for the month of June.
Yeah, and I'm Corinne, and I'm traveling with Cody Ann, and we're really excited to be here.
So tell me a little bit about Campfire.
So it's an organization. We have a bunch of different people, volunteers, around communities in Alaska, offering camps to youth.
Tell us a little bit, how many camps about, and how many campfires about are in our area?
There are 30 camp leaders around the area serving 28 different communities.
Wow. And here in Bethel, what's going on?
We're trying to get kids, maybe we're going to teach them cold water safety, we're doing some gardening stuff, picking up trash, just things like that, having fun.
When and where are you doing that?
We are putting it on this week, was our first week, and then we are going with next week. It's happening at the 4-H Center, and then the last 2 weeks of June, Monday through Friday, it's happening at the Catholic Church.
Spectacular. So, just to recap, campfires in town. There's about 30 campfire people out in the villages, and they're running camps all over the place. But here in Bethel, we have stuff happening at the 4-H and then at the Catholic Church for the neighborhoods closer to SLU. That's the next 2 weeks at 4-H, the following two at Catholic Church. And this is all taking place at what time of day?
It's happening from 12 to 5, and then from 7 to 9 is our teen night.
And is the teen night stuff going to happen at the 4-H Center throughout those 4 weeks, or is that also going to follow over to the Catholic Church?
I think we're going to talk with our teens. Right now we're starting at 4-H, and sometimes last night for the first time we hung out at Pinky's Park, so it'll be kind of up to the teens, and we'll let everyone know.
All right, well, very cool. I do appreciate the night off you're giving me, because I do the teen karaoke, and you guys are going to take it over for one of those nights this month, giving me just one more night of freedom from those teens that I love to serve, but I like to get away from just as much.
Something I wanted to say again is Campfire has been happening this week. We merged with 4-H at the 4-H building. Next week is going to be Campfire at the 4-H building, and then the following 2 weeks of June are all at the Catholic Church. Program is from 12 to 5 p.m. and then 7 to 9 p.m. for teens.
So program is from 12 to 5 and 7 to 9. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So programs, 12 to 5 for all comers, any age. Or is that
any
is that
age.
Any age?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So I want to repeat as to where, when and where Campfire is happening. Campfire will be happening next week at the 4-H Teen Center from 12 to 5 p.m. and 7 to 9 p.m. And then from June 18th through June 29th, Monday through Friday, it will be happening in Swanson at the Catholic Church from 12 p.m. to 7 to 9 p.m.
I would like to thank Mark Larry, Nathan Underwood, and the Campfire Ladies coming in today. My name is Petra Harpuk and Grady Deaton, and thanks for tuning in to Coffee at KYUK. We'll be right back.